काले सर्पकले वरम इतारं विक्षतु कारतो मुक्तकांतो रुरोदः.
After, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulder, and out of grief he cried very loudly, purport by his divine grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The boy was not happy because he committed a great mistake, and he wanted to be relieved of the burden on his heart by crying. So after entering the hermitage and seeing his father in that condition, he cried loudly so that he might be relieved. But it was too late. The father regretted the whole incident. Sava angiraso brahman srutva sut vilapanam unvilyasana khaya netre tistva samse mrithoragam. O Brahmins, the Rishi who was born in the family of Angira Muni, hearing his son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck. Vishidyatam chapapuraccha vatsakashma dhirodishi kena vate prakritam ityuktasa yavedayat. He threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened. Purport. The father did not take the dead snake on his neck very seriously. He simply threw it away. Actually, there was nothing seriously wrong in Maharaj Parikshit's act, but the foolish son took it very seriously, and being influenced by Kali, he cursed the king, and thus ended a chapter of happy history. Instructs us that a devotee must be very conscientious at every moment, even in the most ordinary activities of his life, because at every second we are fully held accountable for what we do and what we speak. And there will be a reaction for each of our actions and words. In previous ages, one was held fully responsible for every single thought that crossed your mind. If you even considered within the mind a sinful idea, you would have to pay the karmic reaction. Could we imagine what condition we would be in this age of Kali if we were held accountable for every thought? But the Lord is all merciful, and he adjusts everything according to time, place, and circumstance, to give all the living beings within this material world the most suitable opportunity to liberate themselves from the sufferings of this world and enter into the natural position of our spiritual heritage in relationship with Krishna. But we should know that if we contemplate the objects of the senses, if we contemplate unholy thoughts, then in due course of time, it is inevitable that we will speak and act according to the mind's condition. So the Bhagavad Gita and all the great shastras declare with great insistence the necessity of controlling the mind. And that is done by keeping the mind occupied with spiritual thoughts and by keeping one's words and one's actions always engaged in devotional activities. Otherwise, the mind will bring about too much attachment to the anartas dwelling within, and thus one will speak and one will behave in such a way that we must accept responsibility for. And as we know, we cannot turn back the hands of time. What is done is done, and we have to live for it. We have to live with it for the rest of our lives. So how very conscientious we have to be as an austerity. It is a great austerity. It is said that when we speak harshly to another, it is like shafted arrows entering into the heart of that person. And those words are not forgotten. We have seen in material society, somebody once speaks the wrong thing toward another, and they become enemies throughout their entire lives, and nothing could resolve that conflict. It is very common in Kali Yuga, even family members. One insult, and that is the breakage of the family for the rest of their lives. They can no longer ever find any harmony amongst themselves. And actually, in world history, there has been wars on the basis of one or two sentences spoken recklessly. So what we speak, we should be very conscientious that it is the right thing, especially these days. There are tape recorders everywhere. But in one's mind, the mind is more indelible than any tape recorder. Usually if someone says something nice to you, you enjoy it, but you forget it for some time. But if someone says something cruel to you, you never forget it for the rest of your life. That is human nature. And when we are dealing especially with Vaishnavas, the Vaishnava may forget it if you speak cruelly, but Krishna will not forget it. Krishna is in your heart, and within your own heart, he remembers. In fact, he will not forget it until you beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava who you offended. And the reactions will come. Similarly, in our actions, a devotee could work so hard for so many years to develop a particular type of spiritual quality and a particular position within society of Vaishnavas. But one inattentive, reckless act, and everything is spoiled. For all of us. If you have something precious to be used in Krishna's service, his paraphernalia, if you just act recklessly for a second and it's broken, it may remember it and be a mar on your spiritual life as long as you live. We have seen people recklessly harm the deity. Will they ever forget it? Recklessly commit some offense against the deity. Will they ever forget it? It's very difficult. So we should know we have to be very, very, very conscientious. One of our dear devotees has climbed on a ladder. Someone was supposed to hold it. Somehow they forgot to hold it for a brief second, and he fell and he cracked his leg, and he will never be the same again for the rest of his life. A second's mistake, and look at what he's done to such a wonderful devotee. We have seen other devotees. They are driving a car, 1 second of inattention, they fall asleep and they die, and others in the car are dead or wounded and suffering for life with various types of injuries. Just a brief second of inattentiveness. The nature is we just think everything is so ordinary, everything is just going to go on. But there's danger at every step in this material world for everyone, devotee, not devotee. There's danger at every step. And if we are not severely attentive of every moment of doing everything that we are supposed to do in Krishna's service with the right consciousness, there can be terrible consequences to ourselves, to others, to our mission. It is a fact. When I was in one temple, I remember I was sitting on the floor just recently. They have chandelier, something like this. And the person cleaning it just made 1 second of inattentive mistake and the whole chandelier fell. Worth thousands and thousands of dollars, crashed to pieces. Plus the floor in the temple was broken and cracked to pieces. Just a second of inattentiveness. Just a daily activity. He cleans the chandelier every week for years. So Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna at every moment. In our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. There is no doubt that great devotees are very forgiving. But still, we find in this story that the reactions are still there, and they may affect not only ourselves, but so many others. Here is Sringi, the son of a great Brahmin, Samik Rishi. And due to what Maharaj Parikshit had done, he made a slight mistake. He put snake, dead snake. If it was a living snake, then it's a big offense. But a dead snake is nothing. He placed it on Samik Rishi's shoulder due to anger, because the Rishi did not respond to him and be hospitable when he came to his home. So here we find Maharaj Parikshit made a slight mistake. Of course, it was by the arrangement of the Lord that he did it, but still we can see things from its external lesson to be learned and also from its internal lesson. Internally, we know that Maharaj Parikshit did everything like a puppet by the arrangement of Lord Krishna. It wasn't Maharaj Parikshit that put the snake on that Brahmin shoulder. It was Krishna pulling the strings and moving his arms from within. Internally, we understand it is the Lord's arrangement for Bhagavatam to be spoken and for his devotee to be glorified forever. But externally, we also have to understand the lessons, because Krishna, in any activity he performs, either directly or through his devotees, he is trying to give so many different instructions to so many classes of people. Just like in the Mahabharata, for the pure devotees, when they read Mahabharata, it's nothing but lessons on pure devotional service. But for the people who are following religiosity, who are not aspiring for pure bhakti, then Mahabharata is simply filled with instructions on how to increase the quality of our artha, kama, dhamma, and moksha, materialistic religious precepts. And factually, they are both there in the same stories. And according to the spiritual master, the quality of his consciousness, he will instruct it to us in such a way, internally or externally. So externally, Maharaj Parikshit made one little mistake. And what was the reaction? He was cursed to die. A whole life of so much good seva for society, one mistake. Srila Prabhupada explains this is one of the defects of a conditioned soul. Maharaj Parikshit was not conditioned soul, but still, the lesson is there to commit mistakes. Srila Prabhupada would often use the example of Mohandas Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, how he did so much service for his country. He dedicated his life to his country. And it was in Delhi that his own friends, his own bodyguards, they told him that we have heard a report that there are people here today who are going to come to this meeting to kill you. You should not go out in this meeting. Or if you do go out, you should let us come and guard you. He said, no, I don't want bodyguards and I will go to the meeting. They actually pleaded with him not to go into the garden that day because someone was supposed to be there to kill him. But he said, no, I will go. And he went and he was killed. Srila Prabhupada says, even such a great, learned, intelligent person with such powers, one little mistake, and it's the end of his life. So we must be very careful. Sringi, he was a Brahmin son. And when he heard that Maharaj Parikshit had made this mistake, he became so angry. He became angry for two reasons. One, his natural affection for his father, that he was so much, in his eyes, insulted. And two, his attachment to him, his own ego, his own prestige. Because after all, the father lives through the son. Just like we know the story of Ramaharshan, Suta, when he was killed by Balaram, the benediction that was supposed to give for him for long life was given to the son, and it's the same thing. An offense to the son is an offense to the father, and a good deed to the son is a good deed to the father, and vice versa. If we offend the servant of the spiritual master, we offend the spiritual master. If we offend the spiritual master, we offend all the servants. Because the father and the son, they are like one body, they are inseparable. So Sringi saw that Samyak Rishi, his father, was actually an extension. They were extensions of each other. And the pride of his family, the pride of the dynasty of Brahmins that he represented as a son, had been violated. There was a blasphemy, an offense. So he took it very personally. And upon hearing this, the spur of the moment, he became angry. Oftentimes, this is the time we behave in such a way that has the worst consequences in our life. The spur of the moment, when we are overcome and overwhelmed by a particular situation and anger flares up like fire. And fire is very destructive. If any of you have ever seen a building on fire or a forest on fire, you know what is the power of fire. It is beyond human ability to control. It's terrible. I remember one time there was a house and a lady was cooking and with some ghee, and the ghee spilled and went on the flame and it became a little fire. And she was thinking, oh, so what? Somehow I'll put it out. But then it caught on a piece of curtain, which was cloth, and then it went up to the ceiling, and then it just became, within seconds, the whole house was on fire. And I was called in the basement of the house. There was some valuable things. So this lady, happened to be walking down the street. It was a devotee's house. I was walking down the street and this lady called out, can you go in the basement and get this valuable thing for me? So I went in the basement door and I went downstairs and the fire was upstairs, nothing. And then all of a sudden, the stairs coming down the basement was this ball of fire just rolling down. Have you ever seen a fireball before? It was about 2x the size of this beautiful painting. It was a big ball, and it was literally rolling down the stairs. And after that, another ball and another ball. 5 fireballs came rolling down, and anything it touched just turned everything into fire. When I went into that basement, it was a perfectly nothing safe. Within a matter of 10 seconds, about 4 or 5 fireballs, huge balls, 2x my size, came rolling down the steps, and within 10 seconds, the entire basement was in flames. When I went into the house, there was just some fire inside, but within 15 seconds after I went in and came out, there was fires just coming out of the windows, going through the roof, flames going all the way to the sky, practically as high as you could see. So anger is like fire. And it will burn to ashes all your good qualities if you do not control it right from the beginning. So Sringi succumbed to anger at the moment. And in his anger, the nature is we act and we speak. If somehow or other, whatever anger we have, if we just either tolerate it and keep it in ourselves until the fire goes down. Then that anger is harmless. Or if we let it out, we let that pressure out of our minds with something positive by just calling out, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And the fire goes out. But if we speak harshly, beware. You may have to pay the price for the rest of your life for what you speak in that moment. Not only that, but so many other people may have to also suffer terrible reactions. So Sringi, in a fit of anger, and what was his anger? His anger was essentially that someone had trampled on his pride. I'm talking about snake in this chapter. If you step on a serpent, they become so angry, they just raise their hoods and just attack uncontrollably. Have you ever seen a mad snake, a cobra that has been hit or stepped upon? They just can't control their anger. Their eyes become red, their tongues go flying in all directions, and they just strike at anyone around. So that is the situation of our own anger when somehow or other our pride or our prestige is being challenged or disturbed. So Sringi, in a great rage, he touched the water from the Koshika River and he declared that irreversible curse, that this wretched king, for the offense he has done to my father, I curse that within 7 days he is bitten by a snake bird. But when he came before his father, as Srila Prabhupada explains, he was so regretful that he had done that. And he could not withdraw it. It could not be retracted. When you say something, it's in the atmosphere. Even if you beg forgiveness, still, it has been said. It's very difficult for people to forget. And if you act recklessly and something is broken, as we were speaking, you can beg forgiveness, but the person's leg is still lame for life if it has been hurt. If you're driving and you fall asleep and the person is in the hospital with broken back and broken legs, you can beg forgiveness, but the reaction is still there. How responsible we have to be in our life. Don't take things lightly. You're accountable for every second, every word, and every movement of your body. Whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, it doesn't matter. You are responsible and accountable at every moment for everything you do and say. So, he understood two things. When he came and he saw his father with a snake on his shoulder, that made him cry. But Srila Prabhupada explains even more than that, he cried out of regret because he understood he committed a great mistake. He was weeping bitterly and loudly. And what is the nature of Sringi's mistake? That one mistake committed in a fit of anger. First of all, his life was ruined. Second of all, the greatest king had to die. Third, the entire Brahmin race was condemned and lost practically all of their brahminical powers because of his mistake. And third, Prabhupada explains in the purport, Kali was given entrance into this world, and thus his action ended a chapter of happy history for the whole planet Earth. His mistake, his inattentiveness, condemned the Brahmin class, his family, and the entire human society for the next 4,320,000 or 432,000 years. Yes? He affected the whole human race for the next 432,000 years. And we find, in contrast, his father, who was actually a true Brahmin, when he heard his son crying so bitterly, he came to consciousness out of his samadhi state, and he saw a snake on his shoulder. So what? He just threw it away as it was nothing. If it was a garland, it wouldn't matter. It was not a serious thing. And he saw his son crying. And this great Brahmin, Samik Rishi, he is such a compassionate soul, such a selfless person. He was asked, even though he saw the snake on his own shoulder, he was the first, he just threw it away. How could someone cry over this? He asked, Sringi, has something happened to you that you are crying like this? What has happened to you? This is the nature of a great personality. He's always thinking of others' welfare. He's never thinking in terms of simply I and mine. And when Sringi explained to him what he had done, Samik Rishi began to repent. He didn't blame his son. In one sense he did, but in another sense he took responsibility for what his son done. Samik Rishi completely forgave Maharaj Parikshit, even though the offense was against himself. He was totally forgiving. He honored and worshipped Maharaj Parikshit, as we will read by his words in the future verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see such a contrast in behavior between the father and the son. The nature of a qualified Brahmin or Vaishnava is that they are always forgiving. They never want to offend anyone. And if anyone offends them, they'll never take it seriously. They are not vengeful. They are compassionate. And therefore, we can understand who really is a serious devotee by this quality. When devotees are forgiving, there can be great harmony amongst them. Because in the age of Kali, although we should all be very, very meticulously conscious not to speak or act in a way that will have negative effects on anyone's life, because we're responsible. Srila Prabhupada explains, just like in the forest, the wind blows and sticks of wood, bamboo, rub together by the effects of the wind, and that friction creates fire. And then there's forest fire. So just by the nature of this age of Kali, even if everyone has the best possible intentions, still we make mistakes. Still small offenses may happen. And what maintains the dignity and the sanctity of the love and trust amongst devotees? Their willingness to forget and forgive. We simply should be willing to forget in a moment any offense that has been done to us. And we should be forgiving that person before the offense is even complete. We should be in the process of forgiving as it's happening. And when it's done, we should continue forgiving. This is Vaishnava. This is Swami Krishna. And this is Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit made a small mistake, and Sringi was 100% offensive and blasphemous. He cursed him to die. And when Maharaj Parikshit heard of the curse, immediately, without even having to think about it, from the core of his heart, he forgave Sringi and accepted it as the mercy of the Lord. This is Vaishnava. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amani namana dena kirataniya sadahari. Humble like the straw in the street, tolerant like tree, anxious to give all respect to others, and no anticipation, no expectation for any respect for oneself. This is a devotee. To the degree you have these qualities, you are a devotee. To the degree you do not have these qualities, you are not really a devotee in the true sense. When you say that I am a devotee, you have to understand being a devotee is the highest position in the entire creation. Being a devotee is greater than a Brahmin, greater than a king, greater than a prime minister. It is the ultimate position in the whole creation to be a devotee. So we are very careless to just say, oh, I'm a devotee. But what is it to be a devotee? People work so hard for so many long years to get a PhD, and they don't say loosely, I am a PhD. They say it with, I am a PhD. They know that they spent so many long years in colleges and so many exams to get their doctoral degree. But that's nothing. You have to spend Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam ampabhadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. You have to go through lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of following religious principles before you can be a devotee, a Vaishnava. So it's a very high thing. And what is Vaishnava? Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amani namana dena kirataniya sadhari. Aspiration for those qualities and gradual development of those qualities. And if you have that consciousness, then who will you ever offend in your life? People will always be offended by everyone. But in the eyes of God, you will never offend anyone. And in the eyes of the true devotees, so we must cultivate this spirit, and we must be very, very, very systematically at every moment attentive to follow the principle of this most important sloka, Trinadapi Sunichina. And we must also be meticulously conscious and careful in the way we handle Krishna's paraphernalia, in the way we deal with Krishna's devotees. Because one moment of inattentiveness, we could cause the death of a Vaishnava's body. We could cause injury to a Vaishnava's body. Just one moment. Hold the ladder. Huh. Yes, but you know, let me space out for a second. I've been holding it for so many hours, nothing happened. You stop. So much pain and suffering caused to another or to yourself. At Juhu, Lord Chaitanya, he was going like this, the deity. And one devotee called for some leaders and said, the deity is going like this. It looks like he may break. They said, oh, well, let us have a meeting and discuss it. Within seconds after that happened, the deity fell, broke. It's God. It's God's body. It's a great lesson. One, just a few seconds of inattention, and look at what happened. And this is the way so much loss of so much of Krishna's energy within this mission has been wasted. Just from inattentiveness, from a moment of inattentiveness, we must take responsibility, complete responsibility, for every second of our life, for all our relationships with Vaishnavas, for the care and protection of Krishna's paraphernalia when it is entrusted to us during that time. What to speak of the dignity of the movement? There is histories where one devotee just does something spur of the moment crazy, and it's in the papers all over the world. And everyone is saying, this is the Hare Krishna movement? How responsible we have to understand we must be, even in our most ordinary daily activities. Nothing is a routine in Krishna consciousness. If we start thinking our devotional service is a routine, then we just kind of, like in a river, you just float. You're not really conscious of anything. We should understand that every second, every moment, lava matra, 1/12th of a second, is a voluntary, willing necessity to consciously surrender to Krishna through performing our service properly. Every moment we're with devotees, we should be purifying our heart by the way we deal with them. We should not destroy our spiritual lives by offending them. And if somehow or other we make a mistake, we must beg forgiveness. And we must just resolve within our mind, I will not do it again. If we just keep doing and begging forgiveness, then it's meaningless. If on a rare occasion we make a mistake, we beg forgiveness with a pledge that this will not happen again. In this moment, every word and every act is being seen, and there will be a reaction. And this is one of the great lessons we could learn from this story. Is there any questions? Act recklessly and do what we want, and it's all right. Nothing is forgotten. We should forget. We should forget any offense that comes to us, and we should remember anything that anyone has ever done for us. But whatever we do or say will never be forgotten.
unless we totally surrender to Krishna with humility.
Sarvadharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masacha.
You abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Krishna, then everything we've ever done and everything we've ever said that has any karma consequences is forgotten.
But what does it mean to surrender?
Trinarabhi suniche natarorabhi sahishnana amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari.
Is there any questions?
The Kali was given only five places to live in. Fourth thing and fifth thing is the gold which he was born. How did he could occupy the mind of the Brahmin boy which he, when he was so pious, Brahmin boy?
He found another place. Obviously, the Brahmin was not hoarding gold with greed. He was not engaging in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating. But he was offensive toward a Vaishnava. And that is actually a worse sin than the other five. Yes?
Previously, first he occupied the mind of the Brahmin boy, then he committed the mistake, Brahmin boy.
Ultimately, you see, the Brahmins are supposed to be very responsible. They are what the king declared to Kali was for the world in general, where he could go. But the Brahmin is higher than the Kshatriya. In responsibility in that sense, the Brahmin even supersedes the Kshatriya. This Brahmin allowed Kali to enter into his own heart by his recklessness. It was the will of the Lord, obviously, because if Kali Yuga didn't come into existence, Lord Chaitanya would have never come as the Kali Yuga avatar. So actually, we offer our respectful obeisances to Sringi. Internally, but externally we understand what he has done to society. So the will of the Lord, but the will of the Lord is also there to teach us many lessons. Yes?
Maharaj, we have been told that we should set an example. If a devotee set an example to the world, especially people who live outside. So happens that when you're pursuing a particular profession, you cannot be really be truthful, and sometimes you have to say a lie or you have to say things which can not disturb the other person. So it really becomes a very contradictory thing.
You mean in business transactions?
Yeah. A professional thing, like somebody may ask, well, you don't need these medicines, but then you still have to give them medicine because otherwise they don't believe that, they think that you are a useless person. If the medicines are not necessary, you still have to give them and say, okay, this will work on you.
Brahmachari life is very nice. Very simple. We don't have to do like that. We can just tell a person to his face what we know, because we have nothing to gain and nothing to lose. But if you are grihastha in business, sometime for survival, you have to say something that you may not necessarily believe. And therefore, there are two principles that should be followed very carefully. One is we should know in our heart that our desire is not to cheat the person. Our desire should be that we're actually being as fair as we can possibly be, considering the necessities of survival in this world. Within the realm of survival, we are being as fair as we can possibly be, and our motivation is not to cheat, because this is a world of the cheaters and the cheated. So if they're not cheated by you, they're going to be cheated by somebody else. So our motive should not be to cheat, it should not be to be unfair, but it should be to survive within the competitive situation of the world's business in that particular field. So you have no ill motives. You're not trying to be unfair to the person. You're actually trying to be fair. That is important. And second is we should give a portion of our profits that we get through that means to Krishna. That will sanctify. If you do it for the purpose of cheating a person with a crooked mind, even if you give to Krishna, there will be karmic reaction. But if you do it with the mood of trying to be as fair and as good and honest as you possibly can, and after that you give a share to Krishna, then there will be no karmic reaction. But it has to be a reasonable share that you give to Krishna. Not that you make a crore of rupees and you give him 10 paisas. Should hurt a little. We should give enough so it hurts a little. We should give enough so that we actually have to make a little sacrifice in our life to give it. That's a real offering. And a grihastha who lives by that principle is freed from karmic reactions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Pain of what they're giving. They should always be extending themselves. Everyone should be extending themselves always. Said in the West, no pain, no gain. Giving means not that, oh, I have so much, here is what's falling off from the sides, you can have that. Or Srila Prabhupada used the example of the man he was supposed to offer his offering of rice to Krishna, but he was thinking, no, I need this rice for myself. So he was bringing it, and then the wind blew and all the rice flew in the air, and he said, oh, Krishna, Krishna, I'm offering this to you. That is not offering. Hare Krishna.